Ready, Sheila? December 12th, council meeting. All right, first thing on the agenda would be Mr. Ruff and the Highway Department.
Good evening. I've got a bunch of transfers here for you. You want me to read them all off?
Anybody want to read them off? You had a chance to look at them. This is the end of the year.
The majority of them here is just small things. I guess we're kind of closing out some accounts. We can prepay some stone and save 50 cents a ton in the first few years. And we've got some truck issues, so we're transferring the $25,000 into the truck and tractor repair. So,
on your new truck coming?
It's out of Terry's.
It's getting bid on?
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have it sometime in January. Okay. The way it sounds, we'll need it, so yeah. Hope not. We need some spares around there, so yeah.
Any questions for Mr. Ruff on this transfers? Entertain a motion to approve the transfers.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion second to approve the transfers that's submitted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Anything else, sir?
Nope.
Election board. We don't have to redo our election like this. They need to miss you.
First of all, we want to thank you for the support with all the changes we made this year. And this is just a general report for the election so that you know how many people you assisted with helping us make a change. We had a huge turnout for early voting. The total was almost 22%. For spring, it was about 13%. So, I mean, it really made a difference. Now, those are a variety of people. We added the location in Francisville, which was just short of 200 people, and then that was well worth doing it. We had mail-ins. We have travel board. Those are the people that go to the nursing homes and go to people's homes that are unable to leave home and vote. And then, of course, the lion's share of it was at the early voting, winning that. But it was an amazing turnout for early voting. Our election day totals, you can see, again, all of the vote centers were used well. And they all had voting machines there that were commensurate with the flow that they normally have, and so it worked out pretty well. Our total was 58.27, which is virtually a tie to the highest amount we've had in turnout in recent elections. So we were very fortunate there.
Well, bless you, everything went off.
It went well. You know, there's always fine-tuning. We had a software update, it turns out, that maybe would have solved one problem. But, you know, we're still looking, and we've got this next year. We're still going to be meeting very regularly and fine-tuning that, you know, all of these things. But so 58.27%, you know, I want to say yay. In my heart, it should be 100%, but it's not. But we had a lot of voters turn out, and we're really happy that we've had an increased interest.
That's a lot of early voting, isn't it?
It is a lot of early voting. If you think about those 2,000 people, if they hadn't early voted, do you know what the volume would have been at our vote centers? I mean, it would have been just a nightmare, to be honest. So, you know, actually, this was a wonderful thing that we had such good participation with early voting, and the locations that we had, it worked out very well. And as a follow-up to that, we have some transfer requests, because the other end result of this, you know, we had hoped that this would be, well, we cut our budget 25% to start with to make these changes, and we still have $7,700 in our budget. There's a phase two. We always knew that this was kind of the phase one of it. Phase two is getting the rest of the equipment that supports this effort in terms of processing digitally, et cetera. And so we are asking for a transfer from these various accounts. And what it would do is purchase high-speed printers for the voting machines, because we have to do tapes in the morning before any voting occurs, and then run total tapes at the end, and then that's our hard copy that's verified with our digital results on the electronic card. And it would also purchase one more voting machine. And that seems like a little bit like closing the gate after you got rid of the horse. But actually, we had so much turnout that we had all of our backup machines deployed everywhere, and we could have used another one. And part of the issue was that we also had a machine tied up that we didn't have tied up in the spring because we added the Francisville early voting. You can't reuse a machine once it's been used for early voting. Then when the early voting is over, that's closed down, and then we can't do anything with it until we process it on election day. So it can't be used for active voting after that fact. So when we added that, it created a void of one machine because of that. So basically, this it's all laid out here, but the $6,700 would do those, would buy the high-speed printers and one machine. And that's still $1,000 to return to the county.
I'll make a motion to approve the transfer as presented.
Second.
Okay, motion to second to approve the transfer. Election board, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. We appreciate your continued
reports, Bill.
Yeah.
Very well done. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nathan? Everybody.
Good evening.
I think, unless you guys have any questions, I think I have two things. First one, very quickly. Doug is currently the council appointee to the DCDC. His term on the council, obviously, his term on the city is ending end of February, because for whatever reason, we're not on the normal calendar. Anyway, at the January meeting, just a heads up, you will have, or February, I will ask you to appoint somebody. Doug has said that if it's the council's pleasure, he would continue to serve the way it's set up. It can be a member or anyone
appointed.
It
doesn't have to be a member.
It does not have to be a member. Okay. But if somebody else on the council wants to do it, that's the council's prerogative.
You would be interested in keeping that position, Doug.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just a heads up on that.
Okay, thank you.
Follow up, excuse me, on last month's meeting, when I think you two jive along here. The ongoing discussions about the potential industrial park on the west side, what I reported is that the CDC had given me the green light to come before the commissioners, and then they gave me the green light to come before you to look at funding this a little bit differently than I had proposed. I've been pushing for trying to sell the county farm and to use those proceeds to use as little tax money as possible. The CDC still would long-term like that to be the solution, but what they have recommended and I'm conveying is we would like to move forward with transferring money, unappropriated money in the CDIT, into the Industrial Parks Fund, and then doing that with the stipulation, and then leaving the decision of whether or not to reimburse the CDIT later up to the council and commissioners. You know, that's still our preference, that it's done that way, but it takes us out of trying to dictate decisions that aren't ours to make and allows us just to focus on trying to move forward with the project itself. And so Indiana Code says that if you have money in any account that isn't appropriated, the council can transfer it into the Industrial Development Fund, and then, like I said,
now, this is for the property, right?
Yes.
What about the improvements?
See, and that's why we don't like the idea of not reimbursing this because, you know, and why we've pushed for using non-tax funds so that the CDIT is still plentiful when it comes to trying to improve the property. And the goal for that has always been to go to the Economic Development Administration for a 50-50 grant, and we would just come up with half of the infrastructure improvement costs. If we use CDIT money and don't reimburse it, then, I mean, the CDIT will still be held more than healthy for now, but it will get a little bit tighter down the road if we look at improvements. If the county does sell the farmland and moves that money back into CDIT to reimburse it or comes up with some other method of reimbursing CDIT, then we don't worry about how tight it might be when it comes time to resolve the infrastructure.
So currently CDIT has enough money to purchase the property?
CDIT has about $1.4 million that is not appropriated, and that excludes a $580,000 CD at the First National Bank.
Okay.
And that's renewed on an annual basis, so I think that's June or July. Sheila, do you know when that CD matures, what month?
It only has $1.4 million in it right now, and that's not including...
Right, and then $580,000 at First National.
That payment was just made, the last...
Yeah, so that'll...
That's $200,000. I think the total is $5 million.
And you're getting interest off that money. So
I think it's like $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
That's it. Okay. What about, and this is something that I didn't know, what about necessary improvements to the Francisville infrastructure? Because the wastewater...
Madera. That would be incorporated into a contract.
That would be incorporated.
We would work with
the town, water,
with the town.
Sewage.
We know, my understanding is that there's probably enough capacity to this already and just short extensions for a first tenant, but we have not had comprehensive studies done for complete water. That would be, we'd just have the preliminary engineering done.
Typically, in an industrial park like this, which I'm not that familiar with, I know in some instances that I've worked with, the owner, the business owner that comes in, will pay a share of that.
And that could be.
And then he will get reimbursed as other people come in and share whatever he has to get to.
Okay. And that I can generally
fall under the industrial park, if that's something we want to do, because that may shy people away.
Right.
But it's something that maybe we can consider doing too.
So we know that as of 2 years ago, and I don't know what change in the infrastructure market happens to, it was roughly $700,000 for infrastructure, not counting rail, which would be its own beast to deal with. You know, that's the very last thing we would ever do, and only when we had a rail tenant actually needed it.
Okay.
We don't want to, wouldn't likely want to develop unless we had like a transload facility established. We wouldn't want to start building rails and say, oh, well, if you want to use rail, you need to use this acreage, even though that acreage would be the better option for a potential tenant.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question. Anybody have any other questions for Nathan?
How are we going to move forward with this?
That is in the council's hands right now.
So if we, how much do they want for it?
It's 12.5 an acre.
12.5 an acre. And then they want there's 48.
55.5. Once you exclude, really, I don't know if you know the layout of that property. So you've got the tracks, you've got the co-op on the other side, and there's that kind of that swamp at the far northwest corner of the property that actually belongs to the co-op, but there's a tiny sliver between the swamp and the railroad that belongs to this property. It's really weirdly shaped. So once you exclude that little peninsula and a 1.14 acre chunk that is actually in the corporate limits of Madariville that we would use, probably plant trees as a visual barrier between the neighborhood, you're looking at about 54 acres of developable property.
And you have the money to buy it.
We have the money. It's just a matter of whether we want to spend it this way and then figure out how to, what money to use for.
So what's the total price for the ground?
$693,750.
And you have $2 million in an account.
Well, that's going to include whatever gets appropriated too. So it's,
but it's going to cost about another $700,000 to
develop. So, you know, $300,000 to $400,000 county money if we go the grant route.
But and $700 won't be an initial investment like property, because $700 could be as the industry comes in, and they could.
Yes. Yeah. And this probably doesn't surprise anybody if I tell you it's about our federal government, but all we keep hearing is that they're looking for opportunities to spend money on stuff like this.
So there's a possibility we could get a federal grant to reimburse us for some of this.
I don't know if they just over budget and they have, you know, they need to make it look like they're doing more work so they keep their budget the next year or what, but Kirksey has told us.
Well, keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
That'd be great if we could get that.
Well, that's always been the target goal, is right. To make sure.
Well, you did the study 2 or 3 years ago and they said you needed a dusty park, right?
Well, that was one of that was before I was here, but yeah. That was back in 20.
Yeah, that was way back when.
Yeah, it was. That study said that we were supposed to have our first tenants by 2014.
Yeah. Well, you got to have the initial park first.
Well, before you finish, can I back up? You mentioned, I should have paid better attention to exactly what you said, but you mentioned something about the railroad and not really, or the tracks. You said not really worrying too much about the tracks. But isn't that the main?
It is. But what I'm saying is we would not anticipate investing in, like, putting in a spur or a siding or anything unless we built a transload facility, or had somebody built a transload facility, until we knew, because we don't want to take that land and just stick a rail in there, an extra piece of rail, and then that is where the company who needs rail has to be, you know. It might be better for them to be at the north end of the property, and we put the rail at the south end. So we would have some engineering drawings, but we would not actually build a track or work with CSX to build a siding or a spur until we had at least some sense as to where the ideal location. We know from a cost, merely from a cost perspective, the south side of the property is better for doing something like that. But that's all I'm saying. I mean, rail is obviously one of the rail and just general location, but I'm just saying we're not going to throw a whole bunch of money into laying down a new piece of track until we have some sense of where the best place for that would be.
And probably my biggest hang-up is still, and I get we need to progress and move forward and all that, but still not having, do we have anybody that, I mean, just one bit of interest from anybody to start off, you know, because a lot of times that kind of gets...
Right now, no, but I can tell you, all I can tell you is that we had one, you know, they could have gone elsewhere anyway for some other reason, but the most attractive person, company I've ever had looking at Flossack County, and that was actually a random conversation that Mr. Brady had at a conference that led to the guy contacting me, was we didn't have rail in the way park, and I couldn't tell them. For whatever reason, I don't know what has happened, you know, periodically we get leads, people in my industry, from the state, from the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and usually it's maybe a quarter to two-thirds, a quarter to a third are looking for rail. Three of the last four have been looking for rail. One of them, if they had other requirements, would have, but two of those we probably could have at least submitted for. Oh, the Carroll County. And then Carroll County just announced a project very similar to the business that I had met with, converting plastics, especially plastics that are not the kinds that are most easily recycled, into diesel and to other consumer products. And they're going to have 1,500 tons of plastic brought in on train every day, at least that's their forecast. So, we're not lucky enough that we have people knocking on the door saying, give us something now. But we're never going to have anyone knocking on the door if we're not ready to go. You know, this. If I responded to one of those leads in the state and said, I don't have a rail industrial park now, but if you send these guys my way, I'll get one built. But because by the time the state gets something, or whoever gets that lead to us,
I'll wait 2 years.
Company's already, you know, in the decision-making process.
And what do you have in place that, you know, like, I'm certain you have something in place, and I apologize that I haven't been able to see you yet because my schedule's been a little hectic.
I understand.
But as far as, have you had any conversations with the railroad too, saying they have people, potential people?
Yes, I haven't with, I have not with the new guy there. I have with the previous industrial development manager. I've not been able to contact with the new guy though. specific concern. But,
certainly, I'm sure they have.
And what they have said, and they have, depending on the size of the property, they have their own, just like the state has shovel-ready certifications, they have their own too. And the one thing he had said to me, and maybe it's a different philosophy with the new guy, but the old guy said that, and maybe I reported this before, as weird as it sounds, they like dead-end lines like ours, because you build there and you've got trains coming in and out. They're not blocking the Hoosier State line with passage between Chicago and, you know, it's like having a, you know, a plaza, an exit ramp, and an exit road, and a plaza to get to McDonald's on the toll road instead of just making a right turn off the toll road. That's how the analogy used. I mean, so we could buy this land, we could sit on it for 10 years before we develop it. We could have somebody like pushing in a year, but
just, has your board asked you to put into place like a 5-year plan that says, you know, we get the land, we get the first step done, and then we're actively seeking and looking?
We haven't updated it since the 2010. There was one in 2010 that did exactly that, and we haven't, because that was part of the larger strategic plan that covered other facets. But there was a timeline, and we would review that. I don't know if we would follow year for year. We set it 2014, we just moved that to 2020. But I mean, certainly, they're going to be on my butt to make this, you know, we got this. This is going to be the number one priority.
Unrelated.
I just think, I don't know. We got $2 million and it's $700,000, so.
What kind of a commitment do you need from us? I'll do this.
You guys, at this point, as I have reported in the past, from what Kevin Tankersley told us, and maybe you were not, maybe it was at the beginning, at this point, whether we are selling the county farmland or selling the county home or buying land, any sale or purchase of land by the county that is more than $1,000 value, you guys have to approve it before anything can happen, before the last step can happen.
Okay. Well, I'm not for selling it.
Oh, no, we're not. I'm not. I'm just saying, for anything like that, whether buying or selling, the council has to, by ordinance, approve that.
Okay. So, do you want to work on an ordinance?
I've got an ordinance. It's just a matter of whether anyone wants to approve it or not.
So we can approve that at any time.
Yes, but I drafted it specifically, like I said, just for this, not anything with the county farm or county home.
All right.
And it's worded so that, you know, rather than saying, so it says that there should be further conversations about reimbursing CBIT or not. So that's recorded as an option, but not constraining anybody to do that.
Get reimbursed from the feds.
Well, can't get reimbursed for the land. You figure out how to do that, you can have my job, Jay.
So they won't reimburse the CBIT for the industrial park?
Not for the land.
They don't reimburse us for the property. They only reimburse us for the improvements.
The other option you could have is try to do a grant for half the cost of land and infrastructure.
You got the money, why can't you want to do that?
And you'd say maybe.
Anybody have any thoughts on that?
$250,000.
If you're going to do it this way, then you start looking at grants for the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can get a federal grant, for all the infrastructure. I talked to Nathan over this deal, and how much is it if you moved it to another spot with just the sewer lines and all that was?
So
it was more than the land cost.
Yeah. So that.
No, I don't.
You know, that was that. There were, you know, we theoretically we could build it anywhere between the Daredevil and the White County line, but then you get into property owners, the finding building owners, and that sort of thing. And by the time we had narrowed it down, it was narrowed down to three sites where we had property owners who were willing to work with us. And it was along the railroad. And so we had the studies done on those, and yeah, on the infrastructure cost, it was roughly $700,000 for this site as opposed to $1.1 million for the second cheapest site and more than $2 million for the third site.
I was thinking for myself, I don't think really we've had problems with moving forward. It's again a matter of what's the plan after that, because so often we give money and then all of a sudden everything sits stagnant. You know, and I mean, I've only been out here a year, but I can see where that's happened a lot. So,
we've been working on this for years, you know, from engineering studies first, and that was the one process, finding the engineer, each of the sites.
I get you're gonna have your plate full when it comes to
Oh, absolutely.
I guess I'd like to see more interest in it before we purchase the ground. But I'm saying you're not going to get to purchase the ground.
Yeah, I would like to just see a plan in place.
Well,
somebody renting the land now.
So right now,
yeah, we just make them
one of the family members is renting from the trust, and my understanding is he is retiring unless he changes his plan. So. One of the reasons that they wanted to try to sell for the end of the year is not have to worry about, you know, let us deal with finding a tenant instead of finding one or finding one and then we buy it 2 months from now and then we have to negotiate with the tenant, renegotiate that sort of thing. But my understanding is one of the brothers had been farming it up through this year. I don't know if you know if Gary's retiring.
I don't know.
That's what his brother-in-law told me. Maybe that's not true. Maybe he has changed his mind, but that was the last I knew. But yeah. It's generating right now.
So you got, they're accepted the price, everything's to go. You're waiting on the council right now to approve the sale or approve the purchase of the property.
And if
you've got that set in order. You have a copy of the ordinance here. I've seen it.
If you want us to prepare a plan and we move this to January, then fine. I will work with the CDC. I'll draft something and have them look at it at a January meeting.
I think it's pretty hard to come up with a plan and layout and even infrastructure modifications to the very goal until you know what's going on.
I don't know if it's
because you may not need to do anything, you know.
I mean, when I did fundraising and in Colorado, we had a $5 million. I think I've mentioned this before. We had a $5 million fundraising campaign, and my board made me put into place a 5-year plan, $1 million each year. How was I going to raise that $1 million? So you had to come up with, you know. So I mean, it's just. Something that would be nice to have in place that says, and I know you don't have names of businesses right now, but you know, X number of businesses are going to be contacted by so and so year. We'll have first business in place, and I'll make contacts with all these other with the railroad. So I mean, it's stuff he's been talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to get that kind of commitment from anybody.
No, I don't think she's asking for commitment.
Not commitment.
I'm
going to plan to get this.
Follow.
Your plan to follow.
I'm happy to do that.
All right.
But I'm okay. I mean, so.
Okay, you want to get that for us then?
Yeah, I'm happy.
I will. Not going to put in jeopardy any of the pricing or anything for that property. Or,
they've been pretty reasonable so far. I will try to have it
the month.
For the CDC January meeting so they can kind of vet it, and then I'll be on the agenda for the council meeting.
I didn't ask for it right away. I just said I'd like to have some in place. Because I know we've got, 3 weeks until January comes around, and 2 weeks, whatever it is, and it's the holidays. So,
yeah. I still got to.
Well, this is a big investment by the county. I mean, that's something that we're darn sure we're doing the right
thing. Yeah, it's the holidays. But you know what? If I had somebody who wanted to buy 10 acres in the industrial park and stuff, I'd be in the office on Christmas Eve until I said midnight mass if I had to. You know, I mean, that's. The nature of the job is if you got something that big on line, you tip off your wife and don't get home in time.
All right, so you're going to put a little bit of a plan together.
I will work on a plan.
Off topic, any news? I know this is probably still on hold on the substation modifications. Put it through there.
I doubt it.
They are finally,
I think, slowly kind of turning around from some pretty serious stuff.
I think if they're going to.
But I don't think they're at the point where they're talking about any kind of at this point.
Picking up any business yet.
I mean, I know that their employment levels have finally started creeping back in the right direction.
Yeah.
And if you remember earlier this year, you guys canceled one of their payments.
Right, because they didn't have people that were.
But I think they're nowhere near that number where they're split, but they're in the right direction.
In the right direction.
And they're continuing to make some changes and to streamline things. But. I don't expect they're needing power of that magnitude
for a while.
And even if they do, I can't imagine that they're going to be able to promise the sort of job creation that would warrant that sort of county investment that we had talked about in the past either.
That was town, county, and...
And the company.
Company.
Yeah. And IMPO was involved in those conversations because that was going to be such a major investment.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm just seeing if there's anything new there, so. Any questions, more questions for Nathan? Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. I will be working on it.
Have a good holidays.
Thank you.
Jeff?
Carol?
You guys all got my email I sent a couple weeks ago, I think, right, concerning the part-time position. Just to kind of refresh a little bit, the County Highway Department had a part-time custodian. It was actually a part-time custodian that worked 5 hours in the summertime per week and more than that in the wintertime. That individual retires, and I've been talking with Terry, and what we'd like to do is make that an actual part-time position and absorb it into the maintenance department. We would take over custodial responsibilities of the County Highway Department stocking, and I'd be able to utilize them off-site as well.
Anybody have any questions regarding that? I think we talked about that in a joint session a couple months ago, too. Need any kind of action from the council on that?
It's the position is currently theirs, and it has to go from it has to be funded. It has to go from a 5 hour a week to 28 hour a week position. Right now, it's not.
This would be so we're looking at adding to your part time
yes.
hours.
Yeah. One position.
I mean, I was basically doing just adding to your hours.
Right.
So.
Right.
And you have those hours figured out on an annual basis, what you would need then?
I didn't bring that up with me, but I can send you copies of it.
Yeah, that's something. We probably best handle that first year anyway. Wouldn't it be the best way to handle that, Sheila? Just make an additional after the first of the year for whatever hours you need, and then we can take that off of it. The only thing is you got your different funds because you got your county highways bond, and then you're going to have your county general fund.
Would you pay part of his wages from the highways?
I think it needs to be at least 5 hours of it. Yeah, the 5 hours a week paid out of it. How would we do that? It would be worth messing with.
Okay.
The State Board of Accounts wouldn't have a problem with us doing it. Just putting it all out of county general, even though it's going to be used with the highway. I wouldn't worry about it. Too.
So you don't have another employee then?
Everything cool with you on that?
Right, yeah. Another 25-hour employee?
We need somebody. Right.
28.
I guess Jeff's going to hire somebody for 28 hours to make it work out. They're 5 and 8 hours a week. That'd be great for us, I guess. To find whichever way you want to work.
Just look at your part-time budget and see what you need for the first of the year, and then we'll put an addition in for that position.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Is that all you need for you then?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, what the judge was saying. Were you here when the judge was talking about some of the paint chips and some stuff coming and falling off the floor?
She's got a jury trial.
Yeah.
The week of Christmas. He's concerned about.
We don't want anything falling on anybody.
The paint chips falling off is due to moisture getting in the north side around the block and the stone and stuff on the outside of the building. The only way to fix that is to actually fix it. You can't do it's not an interior patch job. You have to fix it from the outside in. And that falls into the same repairs that the rest of the building needs on the outside.
And that was part of when they looked at that, that was one of their major areas, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the major areas. Did we do anything with those restrooms and the compliance and all that good stuff? The smell haven't been
the any? Smell is being addressed. The construction company starts on January 3.
Who's doing that?
Malcolm.
I see him. Paper sent from my Frank buildings, I think.
So, yes, that should be completed within just a few weeks, a couple weeks to a few weeks. As far as the rest of this, though, the ADA compliance, that's not part of it. This job was just to repair the immediate issue. As far as ADA goes, that's something that we're going to have to look forward to down the line, as well as security issues and everything else.
This thing with the judge, he'll probably come and talk to you because he mentioned something about hurting with this wiring and something that they're not wanting to put that wire through while this wall is the way it is or the ceiling and all.
Rather than put the hardware, there's the side of the walls actually cutting off. And so they don't want to put the hardware.
That's on the west side. That's the same problem. Moisture getting through the wall.
Yeah, so I think we should talk to you about that.
maybe put it in someplace temporarily so that then, so you can have what it needs for his hardware and not have to worry about it getting bad. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. Any more questions for you? Yeah. Thank you, sir. We had next on the agenda would be the Winnemeck Town Council. There's a note here on the closing of 60 West. That is, I guess I didn't know that, but that wouldn't be a council matter, it'd be commissioners. Yeah, commissioners matter.
And that was a request of Mr. Zellers.
I don't care. We can take council time. The commissioner's here. Brad, if you want to discuss your...
You want to talk about the low fee? I think we can for the next...
Right, that's next on the list would be the low fee.
That's what I discussed with you the other day, and you said that no to the council commissioner meeting. So I don't have you down for the commissioner meeting Monday night, next Monday night.
But you can be if you want to.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any problem with discussing it now.
Our attorney will be there. It's going to be some legal questions. I would prefer to have him there present if possible.
We're just going to more or less give our opinion, I guess, on it.
Okay.
Just, you know, our, I guess, the issues that we would have with that.
So low it be then? You have any questions on that?
Yeah.
Concerns?
I guess as a council of the town, we want to leave that in place. It's been beneficial to us, for the police, the fire. We'd really hate to see that go away.
Okay.
Can I ask a question then? Because I've tried to talk to a lot of people in the community. What are your thoughts as community residents then, as far as the tax? Because that's where we have discussed, we're trying to do what's best. We understand it's beneficial to the groups that got it, but we're also trying to not keep taxing, which is what everybody keeps complaining to us about. So as residents of Flagstaff County and being taxed, what are your thoughts on that?
I think if there's something everybody needs to be aware of, we had a circuit breaker take place a few years back. That cut property taxes for a lot of individuals significantly. The county lost a lot of revenue because of that. The low B was a supplemental tax that the county adopted to take care of that lost revenue. In the low B stipulation, the part that I liked about it anyway, was that it could only be used for emergency personnel and emergency safety type stuff, public safety type stuff. So you're talking, you know, ambulance services, police services and the like. And actually, if you look at what our revenue was, say, 5 years ago versus our revenue today, we're still, what year can we say we're actually less, we got less revenue now, less taxes on the public than we had 5 years ago, to the margin of what? It's in a tune of like $500,000 that we're actually taxing less today than we were 5 years ago.
Are we taxing less, or do we have fewer taxpayers? Because we've lost 4% of our population.
Let me restate that. We have that much less revenue. Okay. Now, you know, the individuals getting taxed more. I think property taxes were cut some. The slow fee takes place, you know, some of that, but we do have less tax revenue coming in, but to the tune of about 500 some thousand. 580, I think, is what it was.
As we had less coming in.
Right.
And you have to, you know, stretch that dollar as far as you can.
Right.
And, you know, if you want your police and fire, you know, you've got to pay for those things.
What did the public, people that you talked to in the public, what were their thoughts on doing away with it if they knew that it was for the police and the fire?
And they did know it was for that. Most of them, the majority of who I talked to, and again, it was random people, but these are also some of the same people that came to me and that have come to me on regular occasion when we've talked about increasing taxes. The reason, and Doug can kind of talk about this a little bit more, the reason we talked about this even in the first place was that our budget, when we had to cut 2 years ago, a year ago. There's money that's actually there that our budget has increased by the state. So we were thinking if we don't have to have a tax in place, then that would be beneficial, and that's what everybody has been complaining the most about is the taxes. Not, I mean, obviously they like the idea that it's for this, the low it be, but they didn't like the idea of a tax to begin with, is what everybody was saying to me.
So you have the money in place now for the police and fire without the low it?
No, the low it was necessary to do that. That's what the low it be used for. Primarily the ambulance service. We're pretty much funding the ambulance service through this building. That's what it was in place for.
But then as soon as we get the tax in, first day they come up here, people come up here, oh, I'm buying a new truck. It's like, okay, no. Then they go, the next month, we want to buy another new building. Really? And we got all this money now that's taxed, and now I want to buy trucks and buildings.
That
didn't happen, but that was. It didn't happen, but it sure tried to.
Yeah, that was
that's just like aggravation. You know, I wanted it to go to the ambulance service to make sure we had paramedic service through the whole county.
The problem is, we had paramedic service 2 or 3 years ago when we didn't have a low fee. We had a way to pay for it then. I think we made a hasty decision last year when we needed to cut more budget than we thought we could, and we added a new tax. I don't think we should have. That combined with the cabinet moving over to, you know,
right.
our budget this year looks twice as big as it did last year. I know a lot of that has to do with the combining items, but we went down to Sheila's office last month and looked at the list of what the municipalities are receiving. And yeah, Winnemac's getting a pretty decent chunk. Everybody else is getting somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 a year. Sure, it's beneficial, yeah. But is it worth maintaining our spot as the highest tax county in the state?
Well, I'm going to jump in here just a little bit because we have, you know, the county and the county council is taking a big hit on this highest tax entity in the state. And property taxes we own.
No,
we're not. But we're not, and it's not because the school corporations aren't doing their thing. It's not because the library board isn't doing their thing. You know, and I had a conversation with somebody, and they said, well, My taxes didn't increase because the school bonded another $15 million. I said, no, they didn't increase. They didn't decrease. They would have decreased had they not bonded that $15 million. And I'm sorry, I get frustrated because everybody's always on the county and they're hammering away at us, and I think we're trying to do a good job. We don't, you know, $15 million, and where did it go? I mean, yeah, it looks nice. You go in there, there's a lot of improvements, but $15 million worth of improvements. And we're talking $8 million to completely redo this and then on the courthouse. And I don't see that kind of. But anyway, I want to get off on that fetish.
Last year we were doing bonus. We had a chunk of money in the rainy day fund that we probably could have used to make up the shortfall. But we chose to add another tax instead. I might have learned one thing in college, and that was if you wanted less of something, tax it. And we can't keep taxing income.
Let me ask the town. You guys already have your money for this year, right? I mean, what was it? 55? 50? And so what has that been spent on?
The fire department has purchased some equipment that they have needed, and the police department has really upgraded their supplies of between radios, the necessary computers for the cars. That, you know, we have 3 active police cars, only 2 have computers. The printers,
various things.
It's things that both departments have needed for a long time.
I know that our budget, general budget that we get, you can put
work to them. It's just so limited. You just live with the basic necessities.
So this year the money helped tremendously.
Absolutely.
Would it be completely missed next year? I mean, you got the things. What we obviously, the money's already been distributed. What we were looking at is not having it move forward. And I say we, the ones who talked about it last month. So you would go back to what you had before, right?
There would be no growth with our police and fire departments on new equipment, being able to keep up with the times. This is a great asset for us. Having a limited general budget, this is huge for the town of Fort Mac.
And then as the taxpayer, you're okay with that too?
Me personally?
Yes.
It's going for the right purpose.
Well, there are so many things in the police department, especially and fire, but definitely the police, that you have to, and you are mandated, you have to upgrade them after X amount of years. Sometimes that gets pretty tough. Sometimes the money is just really not there.
800 megahertz radio.
And then you're working with things that, you know, you're skirting along, and that's not a good thing. So is it important? Yeah, it's pretty important.
And I'm not saying it's not important, trust me. I'm just saying,
oh, no, I can tell that. And I understand what you're saying. You know, you got it this year, you used it, can you do it without it next year? If we have to, I suppose we'd have to, but it would definitely, things would start sliding back.
I think we may revisit the situation in a few years. This will give everybody a chance maybe to pick up, get some new equipment. And I'm not saying we're going to repeal it by any means. That's maybe we can look into it and see, well, maybe we can cut the levy back just a little bit on that and take less revenue in. And also, if we have more taxpayers, then that revenue will go up, but we can still take the levy back a little bit. I mean, I think we can revisit that issue.
What taxpayer wants to move to the state with the highest income tax rate, though?
What corporation would not want to move to the county with one of the lowest property tax rates?
You can ask your wife's boss. Cindy has said to me, they have trouble getting their employees to live here already. I got an email from Braun HR asking if the corporate citizens of Pawtucket County had even been, had their thoughts gauged when this
was. So they're going to drive from Lafayette to here.
They already are.
And pay $100 extra in fuel every 2 days.
They're going to pay half
of that in taxes.
Half of Braun's workforce lives for, and I'm not saying it's because
it's not because of the taxes.
But half of their workforce lives on this county.
But it's not because.
Well, here, let's give a better example. My family owns land right across the street from Linda's house. Her dad joked to me, when you move into Pawtucket County, I know where there's a piece of ground you could build. Why would I go from a 25-minute commute to a 15-minute commute and double the share? I love Pawtucket County. If it were not for the income tax alone and the fact that my parents are giving me a house, but I would move down here in a heartbeat. Living in Pawtucket County versus Stark County, the opportunity, just the quality of life. But I would literally...
What could be a difference in property taxes?
Virtually nothing, because I only have an acre of residential, and residential is capped at 1%.
Okay.
So owner-occupied residential, so...
And I'm just saying that there are other reasons...
Oh, I'm not saying that it's because...
And I don't think it has a lot to do with the income tax.
But
a little bit, I'm sure that people look at that, it doesn't help, but that's not why they're not.
Let me ask one follow-up question.
I mean, if they're going to do that, why not live in White County and just drive a short distance? No, they're living in Lafayette.
Well, yeah, you're right. And that,
because there's things that they want to have.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm not denying that.
Right.
But
that's...
How much...
But it don't.
What was the family, the farmland that just went up for auction on 14? I can't think of the family.
Conley.
Who bought that land?
Sears.
How much land does Ceres own in Pawtucket County? How many thousands of acres?
Probably 4,000 acres or less.
Paying some of the lowest property tax rates in the state. How many of those high five and six and probably seven figure people working at Ceres pay our income taxes? That's my concern. I'm not saying we need to jack up our property taxes, get rid of all, but I think the council and the commissioners, we need as a county to look not at this one, but at the overall tax matrix and say, what do we have to do to make sure that we can maintain our revenues? And when we've got situations like that, when more and more, because the family farm is getting bigger and smaller in numbers, and a lot of that land is being swallowed up. I mean, unless they've got new tenants, Ceres isn't even renting their ground to Pulaski County farmers. So we're getting a little bit of property tax revenue and nothing else off of 4,000 acres. That worries me.
Look at Rose Acres is doing.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
A $25 million expansion down there.
That
property, that'll be, you know,
that'll be a huge.
I mean, did that, I mean, would they have done that had we had a higher tax, property tax? I mean, this is all whatever. I mean, we can argue about this till we're blue in the face, but I agree. We try to keep the taxes as low as we possibly can, but if we want to cut taxes out, get stuff up, give ambulance service up, get fire the.
We don't have to get the ambulance service up, we had it before.
We got to pay for it.
I agree.
Well, anyway.
Thank you. Come on in a rainy day when, you know, it's been raining for a while.
I know we want to try to keep that in place, but maybe at some point in time we I'll be your next expert.
Mr. Denton's next.
Mr. Denton's next.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Lloyd B. I had that marked off on the Lloyd B part.
That's me.
Yes,
Monterey, of course. I'll make this real brief. Thank you, everybody, for listening tonight.
I'm pretty much going to echo what Winmax is saying back there about people loyalty. I know for our community, everybody knows like the curriculum that's been put in place. I mean, it has cut our budgets down immensely. I think we get maybe $4,600 a year, I think, is what our part of it for is. We do use it for our fire department. It's more than just the town. I mean, they go out, they sell the tip at the new township. I mean, it's just not Monterey. It's a big area from here all the way to the airport. And I myself personally have been working with Sheriff Richwine. We've been trying to do our neighborhood watch programs over there. We're trying to combat heroin issues in the county, drug issues in the county, and I would like to try to, through public safety monies and some other things, look at how we can approach that. But to increase some things over there too, to address those issues. Jeff can tell you we've been real aggressive trying to dial that back. Because, I mean, you can talk about property taxes, income taxes, but nobody wants to live in a county where there's a lot of drug problems and stuff like that. So it needs to be addressed, and I think that's a public safety issue. Looking roughly at some of the numbers, I think out of the wild, it's like $599,000, I think, what we generated, $443 or something like that into the ambulance. I'm correct, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, I mean, if you look at what's appropriate to the towns, that's not really the problem, per se. I mean, that's a small part of the money that's being spent in this program. So maybe you could revisit the tax, maybe you could revisit some of the distribution of some of the funds, maybe you could revisit the tax rate that you're using to lower that. To make it, you know, maybe seem a less aggressive or a less taxing on citizens or whatever in the county. I just think if you start cutting public safety money, at the end of the day, you're just cutting your own throat. Because, like I say, fire departments, they've got to have people run trucks, they've got to have radios, you know. You don't want to be the guy sitting out here on Airport Road and go, you know, we just couldn't get a fire truck out there in time. And that's never happened, thank goodness, because they do an excellent job over there. But, I mean, you don't want to have any kind of an issue that something might, you know, get short. And we use our money to help for the contractor, like our fire department, to help keep the funding and stuff. So, you know, if it was me, I would leave it in place, maybe revisit it, revamp it, restructure it, or something like that. But I would definitely still leave it in place to some degree.
Has anybody else heard any negativity about taxes, I mean, in the community? Because I'm all for this. I'm all for the public safety. Maybe it's something that we have to educate people better about.
Well, the only thing that I hear is basically I hear complaints from people saying you're spending money on this side and the tax on this side. So it's kind of like they want money here, but they spend money there. So it's kind of like I think if you reel in what you're doing here, people won't be so aggressively upset about what you're collecting from them if they think it's being spent responsible. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying you're saying what do people say. That's kind of what you hear. It's like, well, they're taxing me and my money goes nowhere. So at least this is one thing that you can actually say to somebody. You see these signs in town, you see maybe an extra, you know, the sheriff's over here once a little more often or whatever. There's actual visible things that you can say it does work. So, you know, that must be keep in consideration. Like I say, I'm not saying it doesn't need restructured or relooked at.
I think it'll be relooked at every couple of years at least, at minimum, to see where we're at with it.
Well, we use the funds. We can use the funds. Everybody knows everybody's budget is cut. So anything you lose, you got to dig around and find somewhere else in small towns.
That's the fine. Yeah. Got the benefit of the service.
Exactly. The service.
All right. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thank you.
RV.
Thank you.
Hi there.
I'm in front of you guys tonight.
Thank you, Nathan.
I won't speak anymore. Commissioner, there's a microfilm department in the door into the IT department.
Okay.
I'd like to see if I'm getting those funds transferred over to the IT department. I see that has to be approved by you guys.
You think that's done this year yet, or it's going to happen?
I absorbed that department, a month ago or so. But the point I'm requesting is just that all those funds transferred over to the IT department. But that could be next year for all of them.
Well, you're not being cut short this year, right?
No.
So next year we can do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Is
Janet retired?
No, she's not retired. I just took that department over so we can actually start doing that department in a direction for weeks. Since we're going paperless and so on and so forth, I assume at some point in time microphones are going to be going away, so start utilizing that department in another direction. And the way that I felt whether it actually worked hand in hand with the IT department.
Is she still with us?
I talked to her.
Do they make it that a machine that takes microfilm and puts it onto digital? So
we're actually still doing microfilm, so we're actually going from digital to microfilm. Also, that's the direction we're going right now because the judge and some of the documents still have to be in the film. We're using, we had cameras that was involved in choosing the microphone now. We're trying to go from and be pulling the digital to make it in the microphone also.
That's what the world wants.
Microphone is not able to be manipulated. So that's why they use microphones.
Oh.
I assume it's not that kind of go away, but as of right now, it has to.
Wow.
That's been on for you.
I know that.
Is that something you guys want to come in front of you guys in the first year to see about moving those funds, or how do you guys want to handle that? Or
yeah, I mean, is that the commissioners aware of that? They're doing basically closing down the one microfilm and just putting everything under the IT department. Right.
Well, they agree to that. They've already funded that.
And just make sure she's okay with it, obviously. Unless there's something
that
she's not. Okay.
I think Janet will be fine with it.
I'd talk to her. I think she's fine with it. So. Okay.
All right. Anything else, sir?
Point-to-point connection is just to give you guys some information. So we talked about point-to-point connections, going to the EMS, to CDC, now to recycling. All that's been completed except for the recycling portion of it. By saying that, I'm keeping the internet connections out of those locations until the first year so that we can test the connections, make sure everything's going to work fine. I do have an IP phone now that we're looking at upgrading the phone system next year. And so I have one of these IP phones now in. So I've tested those at all these locations with the telephone also. It works at those locations also, so we should be able to actually save some more money at that point next year at some point in time by converting them over to the IP phones, the phone lines, the hard lines that they have out there, and we should save some more money on top of that. So.
Can you give internet to the recycling and all that?
They have internet now. It costs us at each location to have that internet at those locations. So what we're doing is we're sending a signal wirelessly from this location where we're at now to those locations. And what that's going to do for us is it'll save us about $900 the first year after purchasing all the hardware and actually getting it installed, because we won't have those internets at those locations.
So you got that meeting the other day, Larry. Oh.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. White County, like, when you said that, I remember we asked that before a long time ago. They had to do a cow over there doing that.
So
giving the internet to another area or something.
Mm-hmm. It's our buildings. You know, I thought about that too. It's not like we're giving it to anybody else. So it's our buildings. It should be our buildings.
Oh, everybody's worried about something. I don't know. It don't matter. But, you know, I'm sure times have changed in the last few years, but they wouldn't even go ask them again.
Yeah.
The last time they asked about 5 years ago, it was not a good subject. So I don't know if you had to make sure that was whatever.
I stopped by and talked to, I stopped by and talked to Nathan the other day after the switchover has been done. RV, can you give him the numbers of increased?
Yeah, we have the 10-meg circuit out at CDC, and once we're done with this, once we was done with this portion of it, he was getting 40 megs out there. So he jumped up to 40 megs out there. Now we don't have it totally dialed in yet. It's been cold. We've been out on roofs, and so right now we've got 40 megs. We have 150 meg coming into the county here. So at that point in time, those locations we should be looking at getting 60-70 meg out of each one of those locations. So we're going to save money. We're going to save basically $1,000 a year, and they're going to get more of the benefit. They'll have network access back here to the servers, and potentially not have phones at that point in time. We'll save money at that point in time mostly. But it's phases, getting it worked in. There's phases getting it worked in. But Nathan was happy with what he had. So the next thing, laser finish or digital software. I was hoping that a lot of the departments on this year. We just got the automation actually done on the system last week. So I'm working on getting departments on the system, but it's going to be end of next year actually getting them paperless. Now, it's going to sound kind of funny to you, I guess. I was concentrating on the courthouse, getting them on the digital side of things. I've had departments outside the courthouse here, like the sheriff's department, health department, highway, so on and so forth, but they're actually interested in getting one of those paperless also. So those are the areas I probably will start concentrating on, unless we need it in the courthouse here. But if they're willing and they're ready to go, we're going to start concentrating on them and getting them on board with it. I sent you guys emails on IT personnel. During my budget meeting, I was asked by the council to start thinking about an IT person, whether it be part-time, full-time. And so I didn't want to look at anything this year, but I am going to start looking at for next year. So I'm asking the council what their opinion is on moving forward that direction. Some of the things I'm looking at is, at the end of this month, I'm taking off from the 21st till the 2nd of January. At that point, I'm on vacation. The group technologies who I normally have covered for me, which we cannot cover for me for that length of time. So at that point in time, I'm on vacation, but I'm still on call 24/7. And so next year, I'm planning on more vacations next year, and we're going to be in the same situations next year. My son's graduating from the Army in February, and I'm planning on going down there in February. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're going to either hire an IT person or how we're going to figure out how to have coverage. But I'm not going to be able to do it 24/7 and be here all the time. Just like this coming up next week or when I'm off for that week and a half, Illinois said, well, we're not going to go to Chicago, we're not going to do whatever, because you're on call. You can't be away from the county. I said, well, I understand that. So, you know, I don't get compensated when I'm on call. I come in, and if I come in, I get paid for it. I'm not complaining about it. I mean, that's the job I took. But I'm trying to get you guys to think, you know, are we going to be looking at going forward with somebody next year, or you know, how do we want to handle that? You know, is that person going to be full-time, part-time? If we're going to be coverage to where it's every other weekend, and it's a part-time person, and now they can only be 28 hours, you know, am I going to have to try to move their time through the week because they don't have 28 hours? Or does that person need to be full-time so that they can work weekends, they can work nighttime, or through the day? So it's just stuff to bring up to you guys. I'm not asking you guys to make a decision tonight on. I'm trying to bring it up to you guys that, you know, we're going to start looking in the direction of, you know, how do we want to handle this.
Yeah, updates on these. Well, okay. Yeah, have a nice night. Get the holiday. Sure. Okay. Get out of here. We've got the transfers. If there's any questions on those, most of them have to do with pay. Just transferring stuff around to keep accounts out of the red until the end of the year. Any questions on those?
I can answer that.
If you want me to read them, what do you guys want?
Probably round them, I think.
Okay.
Yep. I'll make a motion to approve the sheriff's transfer as presented.
Second.
Motion to second to approve the sheriff's transfer is presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Motion carries.
All right. So just some updates for me that got started. They were putting some of the 911 equipment in today. Electrician was sitting out there this evening when I left, so there'll be all this grounding stuff that has to be done. That will all be started. Should have that done this week. So that's moving forward. I'm just trying to get this in order here. So, what I'd like to ask for you guys is the bad news is that we totaled a car, and so I've come up with a plan to. The other issue that we have is our jail van. Our jail van is a 2004 van. It's getting close. It's over 150,000 miles. This is the van that has the inside. It has the stainless steel box that the prisoners sit in as we move them from wherever they have to go. So it's getting to where it's having some mechanical issues. So I've priced out a new van with Dobson's and had, you know, a company in Warsaw that has to move the box that's in the van we have now to another, to the new van. So anyways, this van price is about $34,000, and then I would like to buy a new vehicle to replace this total vehicle. We haven't got the price back on the total vehicle yet, but I think it's going to be about $6,000 or $7,000, and I don't know if that money can be put to the side so we can use that on the price of these two new vehicles or not. But if we can, I would ask that that be done. And what I would like to do, so we don't have to get into the general fund or CADGET money, I know that all of you are familiar with the commissary fund that we have, and you know, the new people that are coming. I don't care if we wait until January 1st. I'm just bringing it up now. And if you guys want to move to the next meeting in January, that's fine. But anyways, what I want to do is go and get, there's, it's a low interest loan, but they call it a lease. This company is out of Illinois. I've talked to them on the phone. I haven't had Kevin look at the contract yet, but I'm just trying to get this lined up so you guys, if it's something you're totally against, then I'm not wasting my time. looking at a way to fund this without spending general fund money and cadet money and all that. This would, we could pay this out of commissary fund. There's, you can go 5 years on it, you can go 7 years on it, and you can pay it off early without any penalties. You can, you know, whatever. We can, we've got plenty of money in the commissary fund. I won't give you the report until the first meeting in January, but right now it's got $29,000 in it. And we hit it pretty hard a couple times. As, you know, we used some of that money to buy a vehicle when we were trading with EMA and switching that around. That's where I used that, some of that money from. You know, that's the money that we get from the things that we sell to inmates in the jail. It has to be used.
So the van will be used for?
The van will be just strictly a transport van. It's, it baffles my mind, Jay. We brought a convicted murderer that's never going to get out of prison. We had to bring him down here for a court hearing on child custody. Now, you tell me why. I've got a risk to getting a guy out of a secure facility in Michigan City and dragging him down here for a 15-minute hearing. If that's not an escape risk, I don't know what it is. He's never going to have custody of these kids, but that's the kind of stuff that we have to do sometimes. And, you know, it's not just somebody you can throw in the back seat of a police car and drag him down here. I mean, you know, he's got to be in something that's not going to break down, and we're all responsible for these people. If this man's got over 150.
I was just wondering, the reason I asked, we did put in the budget for this next year for you to get at least one vehicle, right? One police vehicle.
We got two police vehicles.
Okay, so you're in the budget for two police cars. Can one of those replace the one that was totaled?
We don't
need another, because we're going to replace one of them anyway, right?
Yeah, so I'm jammed up on vehicles as far as right now. I don't have a spare. When we have one spare, so one gets totaled off, then I'm without a spare. So what this one will do is replace one. We'll move the one that's being replaced as a spare, and then we'll back up one vehicle again. So, and this is what I'm trying to use.
I'm just trying to get. I'm not too hepped up on the lease thing myself.
What
the commissioner's thoughts are on it. I mean,
that's the first we heard about a lease there. But
well, it's not a lease. They call it a lease, but it's not a lease.
Uh-huh.
It's a low interest loan the way I look at it. Because there's no limits on my mileage. There's, I can drive whatever I want.
The county vehicle, we're just buying it instead of just paying for it all one shot. With the incentive, I don't know. I guess I'm not necessarily for it. I don't know, without knowing everything about it, because I do know that we get concessions, from the dealerships for police vehicles.
It's the same thing. I go, this one comes from Dobson's, the other one I would get from Braun's, and it's the same truck that I bought. We're going to buy with the money from the two that you budgeted for. It's the same price.
Okay.
So we're getting those concessions. What I do is I send the three estimates that I've got, from the one from Dobson's, this one down here from, and then the company that's going to switch everything over there in Warsaw. They look at it, and then they say, okay, here's the money. It's, and when I talked to them a couple weeks ago, it was like 2 or 3% interest. And then they said you can pay it off in 5. You can make payments for 5 years. You can make it for 7. I think we can do it in 5, and I think we'll have it paid off quicker.
And this is for the bank.
That's for both.
That's for both. So you're looking at doing that for both vehicles.
And I guess I appreciate you looking at other options rather than going to general fund. If Kevin looks it over and thinks that it looks okay, I would be okay with it, as long as legally there's nothing.
They told. So it was that company that said we had to go to the council. So I'm just to get some blessing from you before I do all this work, and then come and you guys say.
You're going to pay the money back to that place out of your commissary fund.
The only money I'm asking from you guys.
But
here's my concern, Mike, is that we gave you money for two vehicles. Okay, for this coming year to replace two vehicles. You sound like you want to increase your number of vehicles in your force.
I got two that I have to replace for mileage. That's
you got two you got to replace.
This one is one that I was never thinking about replacing. It's been totaled. So
I know, but if you replace two,
with mileage that you have, okay, you can't keep one of those. You need to replace this one too. So you're going to get insurance money out of this vehicle.
Yeah, I'm thinking 6 to 7 compared to what we got out of the last one.
Right.
I don't know that figure for sure.
You're looking at about $6,000-$7,000 that could be used back and put back.
If we can, you know, I won't have this done before the end of the year, and I don't. Carrie didn't know, and I didn't get to talk to Sheila to know. If once the insurance company pays that money back, does it go into the general fund and we never see it again, or can it be put back into a fund that I can use it then to help pay?
No, it'll go in the general fund, and then it can be put back into whichever fund. Just make a note of it because Sheila's not around anymore.
But I'm looking, Jay, I guess, to pay it out of the commissary money, and then, you know, it doesn't come out of.
Yeah, it doesn't come out of your cash. It
doesn't come out of the general fund. You know, it's out of the money that we generate in the jail. And, you know, I think we can do it, and I think we can have it. I think I can pay it off quicker than that.
Okay. We already have $29,000.
Yeah, I don't want to empty it completely, but.
Come on, what are you going to do with it? You know what surplus means, don't you?
Huh?
You know what surplus means? Overtaxed.
That's right.
I read that on the back of the cemetery one day. I heard about that. A bumper sticker.
Well, if that's what you feel like, to be the best sheriff, I don't have any problems. Commissary fund room,
look at that. Kevin.
Right.
All right. I'll go
over as long as the commissioners are okay with it.
They were okay with it the last time. I'm like you guys, when you say lease, you know, I've leased some vehicles, and it wasn't a good thing for me.
No.
When I talked to this guy, he says, you pick out the vehicles you want, you can outfit them, you send the bills to us, we'll cut you the check for it. We set up payment plans for either 5 years or 7 years. It sounds like a low-interest loan to me is what it is.
Cause they're making about three, that's about how long they last. We have a van holder.
Yeah, the van we have now is 2004. Okay. And I think it was actually bought used. So.
Now, will they give you, so if you're able to get some money back out of insurance on the vehicle that was totaled and then get some money out of the van if you sell it? Can that
no, I got people, the Elm Patrol ladies looking at the van. Coroner's called me about the van. Coroner's called me about one of the vehicles that we're replacing. So I don't know which one he really wants. So I got people asking for those. So, you know, my thoughts would be.
All right, let the commissioners in on that.
You give it to.
I was just thinking that could be money that's. I was going to add my question was going to be that could be money that put against the lease or loan or whatever you're getting, and then that could be some other amount. But that's possible to do that. Okay. I got you on. Some cabinet stuff here too for transportation of inmates office to dispatch all the time.
Yeah, that's the transfer.
Yeah, that's the answer on that.
And then some other news. The I thought that's maybe what the town was here for, but that's what they're here for. I got called by Greg maybe a month or two ago. Referenced the somehow we get money for the town for a dispatcher. And I said, that's questions for you guys, the commissioners, and Sheila. I said, I don't know where that money goes or comes from, but I'm supposed to go to a meeting. I don't know if any of you guys are going, not tomorrow, but the next Tuesday, with Kevin, the town attorney, the town board, Sellers reference. I don't know what their questions are, whether they're not wanting to pay for this dispatcher, or, you know, give it, I think it's what, $30,000? It's probably around $30,000.
It's one dispatcher's wage.
So, you know, that's popping up. I don't know where they're going with that. I told them that was more of a question for you guys, what you want to do with that. I think everybody's taxed as far as the 911 fund. And
right.
I don't know if that's a carryover from when, before it was the 911 fund, and we.
And this is just Winnemac?
Yeah. Nobody else pays us. The town of Monterey pays us, as far as I know, unless there's a fee I don't know about. I know the town of Monterey pays us $1,500.
So each incorporated entity would pay some.
I'm not sure about that. Today. I know. I'm telling you what I know.
Yeah, I don't know how that all works out.
The town of Winnemac pays the one dispatcher because the town of Winnemette calls go through the county.
Everybody's calls come through the 911 center. So I think, Sheila, my question is, why was it originally set up that way? And the only thing that makes sense to me is that before it was actually a 911 center where we were all paying, you know, everybody pays this 911 fee on their telephone bill. And so I don't know, before that happened, the county still dispatched for Winnemack at that time, before the 911 money coming around. So I don't know if the deal was made, okay, Winnemack, we'll dispatch for you, you won't have to have a dispatch center, pay us for one dispatcher. So I'm assuming that's what happened, but I really don't
know. It sounds like they might have a legitimate right there.
I think they might look at it
and we'll see what they got.
All right.
I know it's been done for several years.
It's been a long time, because I remember it was before the 911.
But I don't know why, because they still pay county tax like everybody else through the, you know, the 911.
That's us. So
why they would be?
There might be an argument there. So
let the people come before us.
I don't think there's an argument there.
What's that?
I said, I don't think they have an argument. They don't want to set up a dispatch center or hire someone to dispatch their police. I mean, it's a service we're giving them.
But I think Doug, that their answer or their question is, and I do see the question, is that if you're a town resident, you're already paying that.
You're paying county taxes, right?
And that's what funds the 911 center. You know, I don't know how much. You know, I'm sure if you want to look at building and all the cabinet money and that stuff, you know, I don't know. Maybe the town people still pay that. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of ways you can look at it.
Yeah, and I don't know how, you know, other municipalities or corporations in the counties pay for their 911 service. If it's countywide, I mean, I don't know if the Garys have their own 911. I don't know.
Almost all these 911 centers are getting down to one.
It's one local area.
And I think you'll eventually see the state push it to try to be regionalized to where there won't be, you know, wherever they wind up wanted to put it, that you'll try to close this one down. And personally, I think that's a mistake. The state's done that with the state police and the DNR. It just didn't work.
Yeah. Well, see what you got to say.
They're
going to do it in India.
Yeah.
All calls go to India.
And then one more thing with you, and I'll be done.
You got a bicycle with the covers on them.
Is we've been negotiating for a while with these health care services that we pay over here with the inmates, and the hospital has found a law that says that the sheriff is responsible for health care of people. And the argument's been, in the past, my argument's been, they're not in my custody until we've picked them up and they've actually been booked in the jail. Well, you know, there's some arguments there. And what I did is I went to this email that I can send out to all the sheriffs. And it goes from sheriffs paying health care as soon as we pick the guy up to we don't pay it until they're booked into the jail. So Kevin has looked at the law, and he says that, you know, once they're in custody, then the sheriff has to pay their health care. You know, right now we have that. We do the quality care corrections, and, you know, they negotiate our bill. Anything that's over that, we pay a little extra. They'll pay that. And then if we go over that, then we have to pay it. So we've been... You know, we've done really well. Carrie does a good job at that. She has a background of billing from working in a doctor's office, so she's done real well about looking at some of these bills. And anyways, the hospital handed us, you know, $30,000 worth of bills. And so some of these have been paid, you know, so we're almost doing the hospital's work for them on this billing business. And so Carrie went back, went through all of them, got it down to, you know, I think we're talking about $1,500 now of what we might actually have to pay.
$30,000 to $1,500?
Yeah.
Is that illegal?
Well, you'd hope so. And, but anyway, she did that, and, but we are, you know, I just want to make you aware that this healthcare business in the jail is, you know, if we have to start paying for You know, the one instance that really started this going is we pulled a guy over on 39. As soon as he gets out, he throws a handful of pills down his throat. Of course, we got to take him to the hospital. The guy's going to OD. Take him to the hospital. He starts getting goofy out there. So somebody out there decides that we need to fly him to Indianapolis. So he's stuck on a helicopter flown down there. So the next thing I know, I'm trying to get handed a bill for $30,000. I said, I'm not paying. I said, I'm not paying that. Not going to do it. And so, you know, after some discussion with the attorneys, that you might want to rethink that. That bill is being still juggled around, so I don't know where that's going to go. We're looking at a contract from the hospital to get. The law says, you know, you can only bill so much over Medicaid and all that business, so, you know, it looks like we're going to be paying maybe some more on these hospital bills than I care to pay. But it looks like that's what the law says, and so, of course, I'll have to eventually obey that.
Hey, he just didn't have his car, so I can go home.
I'm telling you.
We
got a guy sitting there now that went and got a shot today for some eye stuff. We're going to try to get him released. But, you know, some of these health care things that pop up in the jail are just crazy. So, I just want you to be aware of it. You know, we don't have no $100,000 thing looking at us now, but could be real easy. Could be just sitting down the road very, very happy.
How much it cost when the people OD? I mean, like, that, what do you call it? That heroin OD when they give them something?
That Naloxone we get free from the grant from the Attorney General. That didn't cost us anything. We got a grant.
The guy that OD'd, he wasn't on Naloxone then.
Yeah, we didn't know what he took.
That's what it was.
And from the hospital side, unfortunately, we have to follow rules as far as when you call poison control or whoever you have to get in touch with, and they say they need to be flown out because
they probably did a rapid, They probably did a rapid drug screening, and that's why they couldn't fly.
Yeah.
So,
it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You want to? We got the transfer from your caddy. Anybody have any questions on that? Entertain a motion to approve that.
I move we accept that as proposed.
Second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, we got a motion and a second for the $850 transfer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We did his other transfer. He did again. Yeah, we did the sheriff's transfer. I think that's all we have for him.
It is. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Is that his additional deal?
No, that's Sheila.
All right.
Insurance.
Yeah, do we have either advertised for the advertising additional? For advertising for next month. Any questions on that? We can approve those for advertising.
Are those what you're going over down here or not?
What?
Probably not.
I don't have an additional for you to sign tonight, but I do have an additional that needs to be advertised. And it's for the group insurance in both prison reimbursement and statewide 911.
Anybody have any questions for the sheriff on those? So you just grab it back for the next meeting.
Again. This, Sheila, is that what we talked about where...
The wages have to follow the fund when it comes to benefits. And these two departments, or these two funds, have teachers aid out of them, so their health insurance is going to follow it.
Entertain a motion to approve the additional to be advertised again. Okay, we got a motion.
Second.
We got a motion and a second to approve the advertisement for the January 9th meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Hey, and I wanted to thank Roger and Beth both. I appreciate working with you and some of us in your last meeting, so you won't catch the commissioner who's there. But I want to thank both of you and Tom, too, and everybody else. But
most definitely.
You too.
Wow.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank
you. Jay, I have a paper downstairs that you need to sign. You can approve it. It's got to do with Judy Heater being appointed to the library board.
Okay.
And you guys did it a couple months back.
Right.
The paper. I didn't have the paperwork.
Okay. You lost stuff in the office on the way out?
I've got it. But I don't have it with me up here.
Okay. Has anybody had a chance to look over all the, I'm going to call them the paperwork, the transfers? Just to balance all the budgets. I mean, you're talking $30 here. $50 there, a couple of them to $400 range. Yeah, you want to just make a motion to approve all of them at one shot, just for the airport and everything on down the line?
Okay. That's my motion to approve the transfers as presented. The remaining.
Yeah, the remaining transfers as presented.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to approve the remaining transfers as presented. This would be for auditor, part-time, for prosecutor, drainage board, circuit court, EMS, recycling and transfer station, airport, and the county health department. I think it covered all of them. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries for the additional transfers.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Oh,
yeah.
I think there was a date might have been wrong or something when I read through them.
On your minutes, we forgot to put a date wrong. You've got them.
Okay.
Kristen Hinkle was approved to be full-time at the joint session, and I forgot to put it in the minutes there. So I've added them to these minutes.
Okay. Motion to approve the minutes with modifications as suggested. And a second. Doug, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries.
Who seconded that?
Doug did.
Doug did, okay.
Anything else, Sheila? We got it. What's it? Approved label additional. Oh, never mind. I've got that color. Transfer appropriation. Okay. Oh, yeah, I want to, if Doug and Roger, I apologize. If you want to attend a meeting in January, we'll have a little something for you to the county for the years. Get that to you. And Sheila, for your service to the county.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate all that you've done for us for the last 8 years.
Does it go like
this?
No,
it's over her hand.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's stuck to the plastic.
Okay. So thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
for all your hard work. Glad to be here. And wish you luck.
Thank you.
Make a turn.
Your daughter did help me kill the garbage can.
Well, what happened?